Just like you mentioned about Ken Petty, it's very sad that he fell asleep. He was a great man, a great heart, and we've been to his home a couple of times. He invited us over there, and we met him in India along with Carl Morton. And when we went to India, I've seen him in India quite a few times, so we've travelled and ministered together. And then he married Danny and Amber here in Bristol, and Darlene doesn't really go anywhere, but this is one place she wanted to come. So when they came, Darlene also came. So we've been privileged, you know, by God for them to grace us here in Bristol. So God has really blessed us. He'd be greatly missed. And, you know, we can keep Darlene in our prayers, and Sharon, his sister, who was always devoted to Ken to help him and assist him. And also all the believers that he ministered to, you know, we can keep them in our prayers at this time. He helped a lot of people. He was a great blessing, and he had a love for God's, you know, scriptures, and to teach them according to his understanding and his working. And I always am thankful to God to know him and to be a part of his life up close and personal. I was very honored to get to know him, and Kim was as well, and my family. And he always blessed me. You know, every time I was with him, he always blessed me. We always had good things to share and to fellowship with. So he will be greatly, greatly missed by a lot of people, as well as other ministers that we've known that have fallen asleep, like John Lynn. You know, another wonderful man who loved God, who loved to share his knowledge, what he learned, and other people as well. So, you know, we just got to realize that our time here on earth is short, but we got an eternal life, so we need to live it up now. Like, we can live our best life now with God, and we can really, really move with great peace, enjoy and believe and strength, even in these times that we're living in. And though we, you know, the Bible says there's a sting in death, so we feel the effects of losing someone very much, but then we got the great comfort of knowing that we're going to be gathered together when Christ comes to gather the church. And so that is our great hope and comfort, and we're not to sorrow even as others that have no joy. You know, because we're believers, we know where we're going. So, you know, death is temporarily, just like this life on this earth is temporarily, but really our eternal life has already begun, you know. And so we're going to transition from this life to the new life at the gathering. And, you know, some of us might not taste the death. You know, we might be gathered up while we're here. So that's why we keep moving in strength, making ourselves available to God. And we, you know, we lift our hearts to freedom. When we remember people, we can remember what they've done and the impact that they've had in our lives. And we can always be thankful for them. And then remember their families as well. You know, like I just think of David and Jonathan, and Jonathan's son. When, you know, Jonathan was a good friend to David, and Jonathan ended up getting killed along with Saul. But David remembered Jonathan's son and took care of him. So, you know, there's great things in the scriptures, great records of how the believers acted and conducted themselves, and how they took care of one another, and how they had that great love. And that's the love of God living in our hearts. You know, what great privilege that we can live the love of God in this day and time. And I woke up this morning, and God just, you know, I asked God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to share? And God just put in my heart about compassion. You know, have compassion for people. Because, you know, all of us have faced challenges. We've all gone through different situations. Not that we focus on them. But we need to, as strong believers in God, and we believe what God says to us, we believe all those great and precious promises, we know who we are, we should have great understanding, love and compassion for believers that are coming up, that are new in their walk or transitioning in their walk or maybe having some situations. And the most loving thing we can do is direct them to God. The most loving thing we can do is give them words of encouragement. In fact, all of our words should be words of encouragement. Even when we don't agree on doctrine or different ideas, we should always walk in love. It's the love of God that energizes that faith. And, you know, we can do a lot more for people instead of being offended, upset about people. We don't have to focus on people that don't agree with us, but if we ever come across them, we should always love them. We should always encourage them. We should always speak sound words to help them you know, come to the knowledge of the truth, which will set them free and keep them free. And those that oppose themselves, you know, those that have, maybe living in this world as an unbeliever, even though they're believers, you know, we can encourage people. So that's what we're all about. We want to see people come from darkness to light, and that includes believers that are not walking, as God opens the doors, because we don't win anyone. No, none of us is there. Someone was telling me today, like someone else was sharing, that we don't win anyone. That God is the one that acts. We just make ourselves available, ready to speak. We desire the laborers. And it's God that acts. It's God that does the work. And he brings us before, you know, he prepares the table for us to dine at the master's table. He prepares the table. He serves us as we go to him, as we rest in him. Like, you know, he anoints our head with oil. Our cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He leads us beside the still waters. You know, he restores our soul. He guides our path in righteousness. God is doing the work. God is doing the work perfectly. And so we should really be thankful and realize, you know, who are we? You know, we're not people that dictate to other people, look down on another believer because they might not have it all together or they might be struggling. We're to be full of compassion and look to help as they desire, as they come, as they ask. We're to help people. That's our job, to reconcile people back to God. And sometimes you might have to get involved with the little things they're going through, just to help them to believe, so that they can receive the things that they need for the deliverance. So division never comes from the true God. It separates people out, as in true believers know with heart for God, and those that are not. But at the end of the day, you know, the unity of the Spirit is kept when we're led by the Spirit of God, right? Know that we're to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You can't do that with your carnal mind. You can't even do it with the knowledge of what you understand from the Scriptures. But you can do it by the Spirit of God energized in you. You know, because you've set your love upon him. You've emptied you of you. And you're not coming in with your ideas, but you're allowing God to inspire your thoughts and your hearts and minds. And I'm learning such a lot. You know, I think I've learned more in these last 2 years since I've come back from India than I have in all the time before. Because I'm actually practicing my walk with the living God. I speak to many people. God has now brought so many people for me to encourage. They're coming. I'm not chasing them. They come and they call and we speak and we discuss certain things. And I'm realizing that God has given me perfect words for them. And I realize it's not me. I'm just made myself available. I'm willing to do. I'm willing to be that mouthpiece for God, you know, and he's blessing me and teaching me so much. And so, you know, sometimes we see people do struggle as believers. They really want to do it, but they've just got so many challenges around them. And so if we don't have that compassion, we can run them off. You know, we can really run people off because they don't think we care. So we're the ones to show forth the love of God in Christ Jesus. We're the ones to give that compassion and encouragement to them. And I realize this so much. And, you know, we don't have to try and solve everything for them, but we get them to go to God. Look, if you go to God, if you do this, if you practice that, if you're willing to do it, then you'll see God go to work for you. Because the excellency of the power is not of us, it's of God. And he cares about every single one of us. So all we can do is encourage people, excite people unto love and to good works. And to do that, if you want to be provoked, if you want to be excited and, you know, encouraged unto love and good works, you've got a fellowship. Your first is your fellowship with God. Then he shows you where to connect. Then just do that with God, because you're doing it with God. So I got a free will choice and decision. No one can tell me where I got to connect. But I realized there's a need for me to connect. I realized there's a big need that I needed to do that. Being 3 years on my own, before I reconnected back in India with Sangha, that's where God directed me, I was really on my own. The world or the universe, whatever you want to call it, is a pretty big place to feel alone, isn't it? You can feel very alone and have many people around you. But if you're not settled in your heart, if you haven't got that joy and you haven't got that peace, you ain't got believing. And see, we got joy and peace and believing. So when I just went to God and said, God, I really want to live for you. You know, I really want to be your minister. But I got this person saying that and that person saying this, and this person agrees and then they don't agree. What do I do? You know, and if I'm to encourage a people, I need them to come to me. But what have I got to do first? What is necessary for me so that I'm in a position with you so that you can really energize and work in me? That is not coming from my effort, but I'm serving you out of a heart of love and thankfulness, because I know there's no other life to live. And so when God got me in that humble place, he just took me step by step. You know, and God is ordering our steps. And he's not letting any sin have, you know, dominion over you. He's delivered you from the authority of darkness. So I knew that much. And I knew I was righteous. And I knew I was justified and sanctified and redeemed. And I knew I had the word of ministry of reconciliation. But I didn't have the wisdom how that all plays out in my walk. And it, you know, and we can come into confusion when we're looking here, looking there, focus there, listen to that doctrine, listen to that this doctrine. There comes a time in our life where we need to focus, right? We all need to focus. Nothing happens without, once God's given you the vision, because God gives the vision. Where there is no vision, the people wander aimlessly. But God gives you vision as you seek him, as you go to him. As you ask him, as you beseech him, Father, show me what to do. Show me how to move. Father, I want to live like my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ lived. I want to live like the first century believers lived that really pursued you. And that's always been my heart and desire. And so I had to go through a lot of learning and unlearning. So when I finally turned my eyes to God and I went to him and said, Father, you take care of my life. Because God, I don't even know what to believe right now. I don't know what's sound doctrine, what's not sound doctrine, whether this minister's right or that minister's right. I just don't know. Don't let me be put to this confusion. And God answered my prayer immediately, you know, immediately. And then he just put this great peace in my heart. Because I went to him. God says, come to me. Cast your burdens upon me and I will sustain you. Through that time you're finding your way, he's sustaining you every day, giving you strength, giving you vision, giving you encouragement every day to keep seeking him. And then he'll take you on this wonderful journey of learning, wonderful journey of seeing him doing the work for you. Like, you know, I knew in my heart where to connect again. And I had to be humble to do that. And I said, okay, God, your will be done, not mine. Just like Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, I don't want to go through this. If there's another way, but nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. Father, you take charge. I'm giving and surrendering my life to you. That's what Jesus done. And God sent ministering angels to him to strengthen him so that he could go through what he needed to go through, right? God was with him every step of the way. He had to watch his son go through all of that for us. And if you had to watch your son or your daughter go through something for you, you'd be pretty mad, wouldn't you? Right? But God is just so amazing. He understands all things. That's why we need to go to him, guys. And then when we go to him with a genuine heart, and then he shows you what to do, when you say, okay, God, I will do exactly what you want me to do, then he takes you on this amazing journey of learning and understanding. And then, you know, he'll lead you to those rivers of living water, the sound doctrine, the rivers of living water, where you can start to grasp and understand spiritual truths, not just knowledge of a scripture, but the spiritual depth and understanding. And when you get that, no one can ever rob it of you. And you'll have boldness to speak in front of anyone that speaks against you. Anyone that says you're not sharing the thing, you'll just have the boldness. And it's not coming from an ego, it's coming from the Spirit of God. Because my life is sorted, it's sold out to God. So my mouth is his. And I didn't even plan to speak now. I was just going to say a few things about Ken. But now I'm inspired to carry on. So that's what I'm doing. I'm doing what God is directing my heart to do. So when I close my eyes at night, my last thought is God. When it wakes up, my first thought is God. I'm not concerned about all my responsibilities in this world, or even the people. They're not my fault. I wake up, God, thank you for this great day. What would you have me do today? And that's what I've done this morning. And God says, have compassion. You know, and compassion is that it's not dependent upon whether someone's doing something wrong or right. You're going to love them anyway. You're going to encourage them anyway, whether they're wrong or right. Whether you see yourself better than them, you're going to love them wrong or right, because you're not better than anyone. It's by grace we're saved, not by our works, not by our goodness, not even by our kindness, but by the faith of Jesus Christ and believing that God raised him from the dead. So all of us are, you know, God wants you to be comforted in your heart. He doesn't want you to fear death, because it's all going to come to us unless we're gathered out of here at some time, right? And that, you know, the fear of death will hold you in bondage in your life. So don't worry about it, you know, because God is with you. God can raise you from the dead. And because, you know, if God's got a calling on your life and he ain't finished with you yet, he'll raise you up from the dead. And according to the faith of the people, if they're walking by the Spirit, they can raise you up. So, you know, it's just having that focus. We got to be really focused with God, you know, and that's not a hard thing to do. It's just believing the words that are being spoken, practicing them in your life. Every day, you can only practice one day at a time, right? I can't live tomorrow, but I can practice right now what I know and understand. And I can be that living epistle of God's goodness, of God's love. I can be a representation of God's love, of God's kindness, of his faith building, of his generosity. I can be that. Jesus Christ was. And he showed people just how good the Father was. And, you know, we can show people just how good the Father is. He says, look, at my right hand side there's joy and pleasures forevermore. That isn't when we get there. We're already there spiritually, right? At the right hand side of God in Christ Jesus. God says, experience this now. This is a true spiritual reality which needs to come into your physical. And that is received by faith. And faith says, okay, I believe that I am living the happy and joyous life. You say it, you confess it, you let this word come out of your mouth. I am sat at the right hand side of God in Christ Jesus. Everything is under the feet of Jesus Christ, and it's also under my feet. In fact, Jesus, just as you are, so am I in this world. Oh, you're crazy, Lawrence. Look at you. You don't look nothing like him. Or you don't sound nothing like him. Or you don't do the things that he does. Oh, and I do. I do the same works that Jesus Christ done and greater. Oh, Lawrence, you know, you're not manifesting certain qualities. No, I am blessed with all spiritual blessings. I am prosperous. I am rich. Jesus became poor so I could become rich in every area of my life. Rich in my heart, rich in my thinking, rich in my words, rich in my relationships, rich in my ministering, rich in my finances, rich in my giving, rich in my receiving. He wants you to enjoy this life. And if you've got God first, then you can start enjoying these things. See, there's a thing called fruit. And God wants you to enjoy the fruits of your labor. So all the sowing that you've done, people that you've worked with, people that you've encouraged, you know, you're going to get some fruit from them. Whether it be financial or relationship or they're walking in signs, miracles and wonders and increasing greatly, you're going to get the fruit of your labor now, right now. Not to come. There's going to be rewards to come. But God says right now, what about today? God says death or life, choose death or life. Choose you this day, death or life. So if I choose life, life is filled with all those things spiritually that God says we are, right? So when we choose life, we're saying, okay, I choose that right-hand side of God lifestyle. I choose the healing, that's mine already. I choose the abundance, which is mine already. I choose the authority and power, which is mine already. And as I apply myself, as I'm energized by the Spirit of God, as I allow God to lead me, then these things will start to become manifested. The spiritual will start to manifest into the physical. Everything else outside that is designed to blind your eyes, to distract you off, to keep you from your purpose. Even Jesus was distracted in the desert, right? In his temptations. It was a distraction from Satan to try and get him off. But he kept his eyes on God. So that's where we keep our eyes. And we can do it. Because we can do all things through Christ, which is energizing us, strengthening us. And God is also working in us every moment of every day. Continuously energizing. So when we get rid of the distractions and we be still and know that He is God, we can receive the things of God. And we can be guided by God moment by moment. We can walk by the Spirit moment by moment. Second by second. Minute by minute. Hour by hour. Day by day. And we practice this every day and we're perfecting it. God is perfecting that in us. And then God brings His people that speak for Him to help perfect the saints, to get them to copy. You know, to be those two posses. To do the same. To do the same. Guys, if you do this, this is the results you're going to get. How do I know that? Because I'm doing that. I believe God. So my encouragement is just stay with God. He really is for you. Let Him serve you. Let God do the work. It's not you. You're not going to do anything in your strength. You're not going to do anything spiritual in your own strength. It's only as God is working in you and energizing you, those things you do, that's God working. He's doing it by you. Even in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul said, by God you were reconciled by us. God by us reconciled you. In other words, God was working in them. They were given the message. The people received it and got born again. So God, by those apostles, reconciled these people to Himself. By those apostles. God was reconciling people to Himself by Jesus Christ. But God was doing the work. And guys, nothing's changed. God is still doing the work. And when we start to really understand that, then you can rest. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to rest. In other words, we're not supposed to fret about things. We're not supposed to be so detailed minded. We just do our daily living and we're knowing that God's doing the work. We're trusting God to bring the laborers. We're trusting God to open up the doors. We're trusting God to bring those people that need healing, deliverance, so that we can minister His power. We're not trying to look for it ourselves, but we look to God. Father, it's on you. Bring them. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. Now, who will we send? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Just be ready. That's all you've got to do. Be ready. And you're ready when you're resting in Him, trusting these promises to you, doing the things that you know every day. And if you need help, come and get it. Go to God. Where do I go for this help? Who do I connect to? Where am I going to get sound words from you? That's going to direct my heart to you to receive the things from you so I can be that blessing. So that I can really enjoy my day every day. So God, guys, I love you. This is what just come to my heart. I think it's good to start off anyway. So I'm blessed to do that. And I love you. And God is with you. Listen, there's no condemnation to you. In any way, shape or form. Whether it's mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, materially, whatever. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And then verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law and sin and death. Therefore you have life and peace. If you've got the spiritual mind, you've got life and peace, even in the midst of chaos. Because you know that God is with you. You know that when God says go, Lawrence, through this, if there's a situation going on, I don't know what to do. When God says go, I just go. When God says shut up, I shut up. God says speak, I speak. I'm like a puppet, right? If you want to call it that way. So, I mean, that way, that's just being submitted to God. It's doing things with God. We are, 2 Corinthians 6:1 says we're fellow laborers together with God. We're laboring with God. On a building site, I go with the boss. and I'm labouring with him, I'm labouring under him. But we're labourers together with God in unison. And we're labours together with one another also, in unison, in unity. And you can only do that being led by God. Now just do what God puts in your heart every day. And if you need that encouragement, you come after it. And I don't run after anyone no more. Because if someone really desires it, there come. Just like I did. There seek out. Seek and find. You know, and God, if God wants you to go and find someone here, put that strongly in your heart to do. And there'll be results from it too. So just allow God to open up the doors. We don't need to manufacture anything. We don't need to make anything happen. You're not going to make anything happen. And if you do, it's not going to last. And so if it be of God, it will stand. So just stand with God and allow him to energize you.